listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Welcome back, folks. I've got another bombshell for you. I didn't see this among Donald Trump's tweets. One of our callers from California alerted me to this morning. Thank you, caller. And the heading here at Breitbart, Donald Trump goes nuclear. Senate Republicans should kill the 60-vote rule to end a government shutdown. Now, this is very vital, folks. This dope Mitch McConnell, he is the guy who's been insisting on something that's only a rule. It's not in the Constitution. It's not a law. The Senate insists on McConnell, a 60-vote rule to break a filibuster. What that means is that if you don't have 60 votes, and the Republicans do not, they have 51. If one Democrat, like Chuck Schumer, stands up to filibuster, that means he can talk as long as he likes, days, or a group of them, as long as they like, to obstruct action, to stop action in the Senate. Then a vote cannot be held. The Republicans, you say to yourself, like, if the Republicans have a good law, they have 51 votes, they also have Vice President Pence, but why can't they just push stuff through the Senate, on immigration, on everything, on tax cuts, you name it? Why can't they do it? Because of the 60-vote rule. Thank you, Mitch McConnell. That can be overturned in 5 minutes if Mitch McConnell will get off his butt and do it. And now here's Donald Trump going nuclear on Mitch McConnell. He says, this is the tweet that he sent out today at 6:35 a.m. Great to see how hard Republicans are fighting for our military and safety at the border. The Democrats just want illegal immigrants to pour into our nation unchecked. If the stalemate continues, Republicans should go to the 51% nuclear option and vote on real long-term budget, no continuing resolutions, exclamation mark. Bingo, bingo. And am I seeing this right? Does that have, that tweet already has, well, it's frozen here on Breitbart. At the time, it had 124,000 likes. But that's gone to probably 50 million people in Trump's Twitter account. And so the pressure is on McConnell, applied by the great one himself, Donald Trump. To hell with the 60% rule. Let's go to 51%. And that opens everything up. And Chuck Schumer can no longer blackmail the president. Isn't that beautiful, Paul?
Yes, that's really good.
And it's so obvious. This is, you know... One of the things Donald Trump does so well is he sees the obvious, and he doesn't go along with the rut that the deep state has thrown us into. He comes up with the direct solution. Let's see if they have anything more here in the article. Nope, that tweet says it all. That's really good news. Another piece of very good news, just to make you feel better. Let's go to our foreign desk. I'm being handed a memo here by one of our foreign editors here in our here in our location here in Trump Tower in Chicago. No, I'm just kidding, folks. I don't have any editors, and we don't have a teletype machine. But I do have a computer. I have a bunch of them surrounding me with some big screens. Here's going to our European desk, Frexit. What is Frexit? Well, you heard of Brexit and Donald Trump, who hugely supported Brexit and helped it win. That's the British exit from the European Union. Oh, hallelujah. What a day. What a vote. It hasn't been consummated yet, but it appears that it will happen, that Britain will leave this monstrosity, the European Union. Well, what is Frexit? Well, all the other nations are coining their own version of Brexit. So Frexit, I don't know what other countries would have. Belgium might have Brexit. I don't know. But Macron, who's the president of France, Emmanuel Macron, admits that the French public would probably, his word, vote to leave the EU if given the chance. Wonderful, isn't that, Paul?
Yeah, this is something we've heard very little of in North America, but nationalists in almost all European countries are fed up with the stultifying bureaucracy, the manipulation of the European Union. They're basically implementing Kuhnhof Kalergi's plan to replace the European indigenous people, white people, with a mixed race third world majority. And people are beginning to understand that, and they want out. They want to manage their own affairs on a national level. I mean, just good healthy nationalism. I find that admission very, very significant, because Macron is certainly not one of us.
Yes. Now, I'll play it for you. I mean, I'll read it for you. I hope I can play it for you. I don't know if it was. It's an interview with BBC. So it's going to be in English, and I don't have to translate French. But let's listen to what Emmanuel Macron said, because this is one of those golden moments when the truth pops out of his mouth in spite of himself. The globalist poster boy made the comments during an interview with BBC presenter Andrew Marr. Now, here's his quote. Let's see if I can play it. Maybe we'll actually be able to hear it. Let me try it. Hang on.
You always take a risk when you have such a referendum, just yes or no in a very complicated context.
If and France had had a referendum, it might have had the same result.
Yeah, probably. In a similar context, but our context was very different. So I don't want to take any bets. But I would have definitely fought very hard to win.
I don't know if you could. You have to see his face. He admitted at the beginning of that interview that, yes, it would pass. I'll read the text to you. And then he immediately tried to suck the words back into his mouth. And Paul, he's waving his hands like in frustration, like, oh, my God, what did I just say?
Can I take it back out of the air and put it back in my mouth?
Yeah, yeah. Is this show live? Oh, please tell me we can edit this. He says, here's his quote. Here's what he said. You always take a risk when you have such a referendum, just yes or no, in a very complicated context, he told the broadcaster. But here it is. If France had had a referendum, it might have had the same result, suggested Marr. Yeah, probably, admitted the president, to the surprise of many observers. Yeah, probably. The 40-year-old president appeared to catch himself as soon as the words were out of his mouth, however, adding quickly, but our context was very different, so I don't want to make any, I don't want to take any bets. And he assured Marr that in the event of a French referendum, he would have fought very hard to win for the European Union. The last time the French people were allowed to vote on the European Union was when they were asked to vote for the European Constitution in 2005, with 55% of the voters rejecting it. This constitution was subsequently repackaged as the Lisbon Treaty and passed by the French government without a public vote. Sound familiar? So that's really good, Paul. The president of France, not our friend, Emmanuel Macron, lets the cat out of the bag. The French people want out too. And think about this, Paul. You're quite an expert on Europe and international relations. Paul Frum, by the way, is the international advisor to the American Freedom Party. Imagine if France exits the European Union. I think that says game over. What do you think? I don't know if Paul heard my question. I'll come back to Paul with that question later. I already know Paul's answer to that question, which is it would be devastating if Britain leaving the EU is already devastating. But if France were to leave, the twin pillars of the EU are France and Germany. It's the nature of Europe. Were France to leave, well, one of the capitals of the EU is in Strasbourg, France. So that would be out right there. They would now be confined to their other capital, Brussels. But yes, if the French were to leave the European Union, it would be, I think it would be curtains for the European Union. We've got another caller on the line, Karen in Maryland. Karen, are you there? Come in, Karen.
Okay. Hi there. Okay. Well, we will deal with this question and research to the extent that you're willing to. Let me ask you, in your view, what is the difference between the American Freedom Party and the Constitution Party?
Good question.
Okay.
I think I'd give you a good answer. The Constitution Party is an excellent third party or small party. And all of the things they advocate are very good. The difference between the American Freedom Party, which is likewise a small third party, is that we place a greater emphasis on the preservation of America's founding European people. We're more explicit about that. I would guess that 99% of the Constitution Party membership agrees with us on that, but they don't say it as explicitly as we do. For instance, the immigration question for us is front and center. It is the one issue. If you don't regain control of your borders and stop the third world invasion of America, and we speak frankly like that, that differentiates us somewhat from the Constitution Party, then it's game over. Talk about game over. If 100 million more third worlders enter the United States and then use the courts and so on to gain citizenship, we Europeans will be outvoted. We won't have a democratic or political way to restore our nation, and which I believe would mean we won't have a way. There's those people who think somehow that in some glorious, violent revolution, we will regain our control of the nation. I think be careful what you wish for. You might get it. I think in a violent setting, we might lose really badly. But so we've got to win now. Donald Trump said it rightly when he said, "I'm the last chance." I think he got it right. Does that answer your question, Karen, how we're different?
Okay. That does. So basically, you're concerned about the makeup of the population. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, and I'll just to flesh it out a little bit further for you, I remember in 2000, it was 8, I was standing, 6 inches away from Chuck Baldwin on the lawn of the Capitol building as he was introducing Ron Paul. This was a great rally. There was that great Women's March for Life that just went down the Capitol Mall and Constitution Avenue and Pennsylvania Avenue just on Friday. But we did the same thing with Ron Paul and Chuck Baldwin, who was that he became the Constitution Party nominee for president that year, 2008. And he's great. He's kind of a libertarian. He's really, really, he focuses on the Constitution. He focuses, on the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the 10th Amendment. And he focuses on getting government out of your pockets and out of your life, out of your schools. And that's all beautiful and it's wonderful. But if you listen to a Chuck Baldwin speech, you won't hear the emphasis on immigration and the dispossession by replacement of our Europe. You know, duh. I mean, who doesn't know we're, you know, white European people that, you know, overwhelmingly, not exclusively, but we overwhelmingly founded and built this nation, and we want to keep our nation. So that's the difference. The American Freedom Party, if you listen to the chairman of the American Freedom Party, William Daniel Johnson, he'll talk that way. Chuck Baldwin, you know, you'll hear more, you know, good stuff about the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, et cetera, et cetera. But our position is this. There's not going to be any First Amendment, Second Amendment, Tenth Amendment, Constitution, Bill of Rights, or anything else if we, well, let's be plain about it. What are we? White folks. If we lose political control of our country, we're toast. Not completely. There's a plan B. You can survive as a minority people in a nation. Others have done it. But I sure don't want to have to see us go to plan B where we, white folks in America and Paul's people in Canada, have to survive as a minority, no longer having political control of their own, over their own nation. And I don't know if Paul is still with us, but Paul has the dates. They're coming very soon when, if things don't change, if someone like Donald Trump doesn't gain control of our borders, then we will, in fact, become a minority in our own nations. This is true, by the way, I believe in every single white nation on earth is now in the process of dispossession. There are some interesting exceptions that are very encouraging. Hungary is doing a great job of keeping Hungary Hungarian. The Austrians are doing a good job. The Poles are doing a good job. They are not opening up their borders to an invasion, and they are insisting that Poland be Poland, populated by Poles. Go ahead, Karen. Do you have another thought?
Yeah. Okay. No. And okay. I do understand that. That's well explained. Now, a PAC is a PAC, Political Action Committee, is seen as differently than a party is. And just to, you know, just to get at where I'm going with this, that I mean, if a candidate were to be a part of the wrong party or an unpopular party, they wouldn't stand a good chance of getting elected. But if a candidate were to simply be endorsed by a PAC, it wouldn't have nearly the same effect on them as being a part of a party that's not electable. So do you understand that?
Well, yes. Now you give me an opportunity. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to explain something to the audience. The role of the American Freedom Party. What's the point of the American Freedom Party? And what can we do?
I would think the goal of a party is to get its candidates elected. But
no, not actually, Karen. Not that, that's a good thought, but it's not our immediate goal. But, you know, we're realists. We're not going to be electing people in the near future to any major positions, and we don't dream of that. But what can we do as a small political party? You mentioned the Constitution Party. They've done a great job of getting their constitutional issues out there as basically a megaphone, as a, you know, a communications tool. Chuck Baldwin's done a great job with the Constitution Party. The Libertarian Party, they've, you know, put out their libertarian ideas, which are some of them pretty weak, like open borders. Ouch! The Green Party, they've done a great job of conveying their concern for ecology and the environment and things like this. Also fuzzy-headed on their part, but they've done a good job of being a megaphone for their ideas. We're the same way with the American Freedom Party. We are able, because we're small, we can say things that a larger party would sort of choke on. They would a little bit too explicit for them, but we can do that. And we do that with this radio show. And by the way, that's the purpose of this radio show. I want to, every moment of this show, I want to be helpful to Donald Trump. And you haven't heard on this show a moment of me dinging Donald Trump. And I want everything we do, the whole structure of this show and the whole result of this show, to result in supporting the guy who's saving our bacon right now. Karen, thanks for the call. We'll come back with more radio in just a moment.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Why don't we liberate these United States? We're the ones who need it worst. Let the rest of the world help us for change, and let's rebuild America first. Our highways and bridges are falling apart. Who's blessed and who has been cursed? There's things to be done all over the world, but let's rebuild America first.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We've got open lines, had some great calls so far today, and we have got half an hour, 40 minutes left of show time, enough time to get in a couple calls. I've got another piece of good news. Have we had anything but good news in today's show? And that's the pattern with the Trump phenomenon. And we're actually being realistic. Here's another great story. This will gladden the hearts of all of you. Again, I'm reading from Breitbart. Thank goodness Breitbart appears to have survived Steve Bannon's mishap. I don't know what to call it here. And the network has survived. As Steve Bannon himself, I'm sure, would say, that's what's important, far more important than his personal well-being. Here's the story. Refugee admissions down 70% in first full year of Trump administration. But, folks, it's better than that, and I'll explain that in just a moment. It is actually better than that. Here's the story. During the first full year in office, his first full year in office, President Trump delivered on his campaign promise to limit refugee admissions to the United States from countries that are known hotbeds of terrorism. Overall, refugee admissions during the 365 full days since his inauguration at noon on January 20th, 2017, have declined by 70%. From the previous complete calendar year under the Obama administration.
That's really significant.
That's wonderful. And Paul and I, you know, Paul.
That's without the wall.
Yeah, but Paul, it's even better than that. Because remember, Donald Trump, I mean, how much is he going to accomplish in the first 24 hours after he's sworn in, you know? So it's good and it's getting much better. Let me give you an example of some of the numbers, how much better they are than 70%. Refugee admissions from Syria have dropped 88%. From Iraq have dropped 80%. Somalia, 77%. Iran, 75%. Libya, here's one I like, 100%. These results are the fulfillment of promises President Trump made on the campaign trail. It is worth noting in this Breitbart article we read that if Hillary Clinton had won, the overall number of refugees admitted into the country would have increased dramatically from the 99,000 admitted during President Obama's final 365 days in office. Get this. In his November 6th rally in Minneapolis, Donald Trump accurately said Hillary wants a 550, she said this, folks, a 550% increase in Syrian refugees pouring into our country. And she wants virtually unlimited immigration and refugee admissions from the most dangerous regions of the world to come into our country and to come into Minnesota. And you know it better than anybody, Trump said at his November 6th rally in Minneapolis. So why does he know it? Well, Minneapolis now has seven, count them, seven Somalian strip malls, shopping malls. And I think a couple hundred thousand Somalians. It's the biggest Somalian city in the world outside of Mogadishu.
Gosh, I'm surprised it's bigger than Toronto. But we have I think about 20,000 of them. But this is just amazing.
Yes. Let's see if they've got the, yes, here is, I think you'll enjoy these numbers because these are real. This makes it tangible to you folks. In Obama's last year, we were blessed with the arrival of, around the numbers off to the nearest 1,000, 20,000 fine citizens of the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Oh my God.
20,000. Okay. Under Trump. Yeah, under Trump, that number has declined to 5,000 in his first year. And I will bet you a dollar to a donut that when we read these same statistics 1 year from now, they will be significantly lower yet. Number two on the Obama list was Syria, with 16,000 arrivals in his last year. I'll just go down the list. Iraq, 12,000. Burma, 11,000. Somalia, 11,000. Bhutan, 6,000, Iran, 4,000, Afghanistan, 3,000, Eritrea. Can anybody figure out where that is? 2,000. Total of 99,000. And I'll give you the Trump numbers right after this break. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What I hate is most folks don't seem to care. What I hate is looking up and seeing chemtrails in a clear blue sky today. What I hate is hitting roadblocks on a highway in my way.
We're back, folks. More good news. During the break, I was studying this Breitbart article on the difference in admission of refugees by Trump versus Obama. A lot of good news here. In the last 4 months, Donald Trump has admitted 130 refugees from Somalia. 130. That compares to the last 4 months' rate of Obama of 3,600. A drop from 3,600 to 130. Another incredibly good statistic. In Obama's last year, 47% of refugees were Muslims. In Donald Trump's fiscal 2018, 13% are Muslim. A drop from 47 to 13, It's a double whammy, folks. The Trump numbers, the total number of refugees has declined to a quarter of what it was under Obama, and the proportion of that quarter is now 13% Muslim instead of 47% Muslim. Pretty darn good, Paul.
Yeah, and you know, we always said right from the beginning that Donald Trump wasn't going to be able to do it all overnight. You know, it's going to take time. He faces tremendous internal opposition. But, you know, the wonderful thing is a lot of that's been achieved, excuse me, just by his showing his willpower. You know, the third worlders, as I mentioned before, often tend to be very street smart. They may not be, you know, terribly intellectually smart, but they've got good street smart survival skills, and they pick up on the fact there's a new dog in town, and he's to the extent he can, he's not going to put up with the garbage that's prevailed probably for the last 20 years.
And consider this, folks: that year of achievement by Donald Trump is sailing into the wind of a bevy of federal judges who put injunctions against his immigration orders, outright injunctions. The Ninth Circuit, for example, Court of Appeals in California, he has had to sail against that. He has had to sail against a existing in-place Obama bureaucracy, all those Obama people that were bringing in all these armies of Muslim so-called refugees. They were still in place on January 20th, 2017. And do you think that they reformed overnight and stopped engaging in their evil ways? Of course not. So Donald Trump had to face that for most of this year. So I'm looking forward to this next year, 2018, the court decisions by the left-wing appellate courts. Those will be overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court, I am quite sure. And that's why people like Joe Scarborough moan on TV that Republicans control the Supreme Court. Yes, they do. You're right, Joe Scarborough. And the U.S. Supreme Court is not going to issue the sort of insane, unconstitutional opinion decision that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in California it could be expected to issue. So this promises to be a much, much better year. I love that Somalian number, a drop from 3,600 in 4 months to 130.
And, you know, for those people who every now and again still feel, you know, badly about Donald Trump or think, you know, we're somehow being conned or whatever, if he had done nothing else, appointing Judge Gorsuch to the Supreme Court is huge. Gorsuch, you know, if his health holds out, probably will, could be there for several decades. This is, you know, incredible and incredibly important with the balance that there is right now. That alone, you know, I think justified people voting for Donald Trump. And, you know, and of course, a whole lot more.
And I said of Donald Trump, the man who's saving our bacon, I took the liberty during the break to find out, I thought, where does that come from, that phrase, save our bacon? It means to rescue or to save someone's life. And a second meaning, to prevent an undesirable occurrence. And the reference, why bacon? Well, it goes back into Old English. Bacon was thought of as being skin. And we have the phrase to save your skin. Everybody knows what that means. Well, to save your bacon is synonymous. That's the origin of bacon, to save the bacon. And Donald Trump is certainly saving our flesh, our people. So saving our bacon, I think, is a good phrase for Donald Trump. That is our etymology segment of the show, Paul.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else have we got for good news here as we run out of time here on a Sunday? The let's go to the to Brexit's headlines here. And the Schumer shutdown canceled the military jet flyover over the Patriots game. I mentioned that at the beginning of the show. We covered the White House voicemail, which says, sorry, due to obstruction, the Democrats have shut down the voicemail at the White House. We covered Matt Gaetz, the intelligence memo is going to shock the conscience of the country. Oh, I can't wait for that. Here's the one. I won't have time to get into this story, but this is the kind of thing we see from the neocons. Ryan digs Trump for attacking Democrats. That's sick. You know, we're used to that kind of headline from guys like Paul Ryan. I can't go into it, but then this very important story. Donald Trump goes nuclear. He says, let's kill the 60-vote rule to, you know, take away the veto power of Chuck Schumer to the whole 2016 election. Here's one, Paul. I'm not going to have time to dig into this, but this looks interesting. You and I are both big fans of the United Kingdom Independence Party, UKIP, which pretty much has taken the mantle of the Patriot opposition in Britain from the BNP, which has gone into decline, the British National Party of Nick, our friend, our mutual friend, Nick Griffin. There was, an emergency meeting of UKIP after a no-confidence vote in their leader. So I have no idea what that is. I'll study up on it after the show, folks, and maybe we'll report.
I think I can fill that in a bit. Yeah. It was really, in fact, this was just breaking as I left England, and the screaming headline in the Mail on Sunday, about 3 inches high, vile UKIP leader's girlfriend, vile racist slur. Okay, well, what did she do? Now, this is the girlfriend of UKIP leader Henry Bolton. Her name's Jo Marnie. And she's talking about the fiance of Prince Harry, who is an American mulatto who converted to Judaism. Her name is
Meghan Markle.
Meghan Markle. Anyway, and this is the dialogue. And so the UKIP's Leah's girlfriend says, I wouldn't with a Negro. Somebody tweeting back to her, what's wrong with black people? Ugly. Not my thing. They don't turn me on. Harry's marrying? God. Wet as a scrubber. Awful. Wet means left wing. Awful. A royal yank. Yuck. The voice comes back to her. What's wrong with her? She's a gender equality tart. She's obsessed with race. And her seed will taint our royal family. Just a dumb little commoner. Tiny brain. She's black, a dumb little actress that no one has heard of. This is Africa, in Britain. Sorry, this is Britain, not Africa.
I am the A1 bacon cheeseburger, $5 lunch, ahead, only Paul. At DQ. When people see my A1 spread, they're like...
Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, and then it's tweeted back, racist. And she answers, lots of laughs. So what? Not wanting our races and cultures to invade... Sorry, not wanting other races and cultures to invade... Your own culture doesn't mean I hate their race. Just means I don't want their cultures invading mine.
Wow, Paul. Yeah, Paul, let me just, pardon me for interjecting, and please could complete that story. But I just want to insert here, folks, this is a heck of a story. Because, if you followed the Prince Harry pending marriage to Meghan Markle, her mother is black.
Yeah. And she can, I think she was brought up Roman Catholic, but she converted to Judaism. I don't know what she is now, but...
I think she's required. I think the Queen is requiring her to, profess the Protestant faith because British law requires it of all royals. You have to be, I believe, I may be mistaken. I know it used to. That was what the whole Queen Elizabeth period was about. But... I'm sure you have to be Christian, and
I think if you're in line for the throne, but she's not anyway.
But she's not in line for the throne. But Prince Harry is fifth in line for the throne. And here's the amazingly interesting twist. It touches on the question of race, of peoplehood, and bid dispossession. This guy Prince Harry. What a twit!
And so what the girlfriend was saying. This is probably the best part of it. She's accused of being a racist. Was LOL. You know, so what? Not wanting other races and cultures to invade your own culture doesn't mean I hate their race. Just means I don't want their cultures invading mine. Just don't like her. She's a black American. Pushing her way to the top, slowly, slowly. Next will be a Muslim prime minister, and then a black king. Well, they just all hell broke loose. And the party leader, Bolton, is in really bad order for several reasons. Over Christmas, he tweeted his wife, who's still breastfeeding, that he's leaving her for his girlfriend, Jo Marnie, which is considered kind of bad behavior just to inform her that way. So I think that's what that leadership, that's a no confidence vote was about. That he hasn't handled things very well, but certainly his, and he of course quickly disowned his girlfriend, but. Her remarks really, really struck a nerve. She's reflecting what an awful lot of people feel.
Yes, and of course, just getting to the practicalities of it, folks, think about this. You know, almost all of us here in this audience, we have roots in the United Kingdom.
Right.
And our ancestors have been the subjects of, Queen Elizabeth and Richard William and the Henrys and the royalty of Britain. That's why I said Prince Harry. What a twit. Of all, he could pick any girl on earth would marry him. My wife would marry him if he would propose to her, because he's in line. He's fifth in line to be king. And you're talking about a guy with castles galore, and he's dashing, he's handsome. It doesn't appear he's actually the son of Prince Charles.
Right. It doesn't appear he's too bright either.
I think he appears to be the son of Lady Diana's riding instructor.
That's right, yes.
Quite a case for this. But nevertheless, all the white girls on earth, I apologize to my wife, she wouldn't leave me to marry Harry, but 99% of the available women in the world would, white women. So he picks and I don't even mean to impugn Meghan Markle, but she is half black. And sure. Look at the complication this creates for the British throne. If you now have the children of this union will be now half or quarter black or half black, however you want to interpret it, black royalty in Britain, and they will possess castles. And that's the way royalty works. Once you're in that royalty, that line, that's the whole idea, is to preserve a lineage what was Harry thinking? Paul, what were Diana and Charles teaching their children? That they couldn't get it, that they're in line to the throne, and that they're entrusted with something by their people. And yet, not even a Brit, an American mulatto.
Yeah, it's that they have great wealth and privilege, but with that comes responsibilities. And it may mean not marrying a mulatto, maintaining the line, but I think it's a very good question. What were Charles and Diana teaching their children? I suspect much of it was the teaching of Diana, and Diana was a race mixer. As you know, she died in a car with a Dodi Fayed, who was her current boyfriend, and he was the son of a very wealthy Egyptian who owned Harrods, department store in downtown London.
Yeah, I'll give you a story on that one, Paul. You're right. Lady Diana was, what do they say, shagging?
Shagging
Dodi Fayed, who is, an Egyptian, right? He's a Muslim.
Yeah.
And you know, the royalty had to be freaking out because Lady Diana is the mother. She would be a queen mother if William becomes king. She would be queen mother of the king, even though she divorced Charles. And here she is in bed with Dodi Fayed. Here's a little personal connection here. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's true. The Fayeds bought a castle that was in my family. And I'm a little fuzzy on the memory here, but it's a fabulous castle that the Fayeds bought in Scotland, and that was once in, you know, ancestors of mine. And the Fayeds, by the way, it's so ridiculous. The Fayeds actually believe, they claim, that Scotland was settled by Egyptians.
Oh.
Yes. Anyway, that's a sidetrack there. But yes, Diana sleeping with Egyptians, and Harry, I mean, my gosh, what? So this is going to be...
My heart was sinking for me. You're connected to so many people. I was ready to hear that you were related to Dodi Fayed.
Oh, no, please. Oh, no. Folks, we got one break coming up and then one more segment. Stay tuned.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
segment. No more callers. So it'll just be Paul and I closing out the show. And I know you're a big fan of Irish and Scottish history, Paul. And so here's that. No, I'm not related to the Fayeds. Oh, please. But the castle in question, and I'm probably mispronouncing it. What a kind of a Scot am I? I can't even pronounce ancestral homelands. But Balnagown, Balnagown, is a spectacular castle in Kildare in Easter Ross in the Scottish Highlands on the eastern coast. And it's the ancestral home of the chiefs of Clan Ross, which is my family, my ancestors, and also the Robert de Bruce's sister, Maud, was the wife of Hugh, who built the castle, and her sister, she's my aunt, but her sister, her sister is Marjorie, Princess of Scotland, Bruce. She's my grandmother. What grandmother is she? Robert de Bruce is my grandfather. This is wild, Paul. I'm descended from Robert de Bruce on all the line of all four of my grandparents. But Marjorie, Princess of Scotland, Bruce, Maud's sister, is my 23rd great-grandmother. And she was born in Rosyth Castle in Scotland. But anyway, so, obviously not my family directly now, but actually quite directly when the castle was built. That is now in the hands of an Egyptian, Mohammed El Fayed.
Oh.
Who he bought things like, you know, other British institutions like Harrods Department Store.
Right.
And, you know, this is part of our dispossession. People like the Fayeds coming in. What's wrong with Egypt? That's your country.
Yeah.
Buy a pyramid. That really hurts when they buy your castles and buy your art. And go ahead, Paul.
I'm so relieved that you're so well connected. I'm just glad you're not connected to Dodi Fayed. But you know, the Donald Trump remarked about a week ago about all these shithole countries. Well, just got something here, and I've seen it elsewhere, but without that, that Jamaica is a shithole country. The Canadian government has put out a travel advisory to Jamaica. The Canadians. A lot of Canadians vacation in Jamaica. Things are so violent. A number of Canadians were murdered recently in botched robberies, and the Jamaicans are have put the army up in Montego Bay and Negril to try to base.
Yes, that. And Donald Trump, of course, highlighting that very story, Paul, when he highlighted this killer of cops in California.
Yeah.
Folks, we'll revisit all these stories and some new stuff tomorrow night. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to all the callers. See you tomorrow night.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354. Or visit MIG911.com.